Let's do a podcast. Let's do a podcast. Let's do a podcast today. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert. Today is Sunday, April 19th, 2015. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on iTunes and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it. It'll mean a lot to me. It'll make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made thus far. It'll just make me feel good. It'll make me smile. And that nice things go a long way for a lot of people. You know, I remember one time, you ever had that nice guy at work, the nice, super pleasant guy at work. And every time you speak to him, like, it just makes you feel better. I'm not that guy, but there's a guy at my job that's like that. And there was one day, it was early in the morning, I saw him walking by himself. He was going to the cafeteria, and he didn't look that great. And I said, hey, blank guy, what's up? And he was like, oh, I'm doing all right, man. I was like, you sure, man? Because if you ain't doing good, man, I don't know what's going to happen with the rest of this day. And then that's when he started laughing, and that made him feel good, and it made me feel good, and that makes me a saint. So, no, it doesn't. But what else? So just rate and review the show. It would mean a lot to me. I know there's a couple hundred of you that listen. I'm gonna just say that there's a few hundred of you that listen to this show on a regular basis, and I'm thankful of that, because guys, I don't have a sitcom. I have a cubicle that's not even mine at my office job. I have an apartment that I rent, and I have a modest music collection and DVD collection. I have a PlayStation, you know, I'm paying the lease off on my, I don't really have a, I'm not leasing my car. I'm paying for the car. So when I'm done paying for it, it'll be my, basically I'm not a baller. You guys, I'm a regular guy. I do some stand up when they let me do it. And it makes me feel good that you guys listen to the show. I've been doing this thing for about a little over 2 years now, and it's been really fun. And for the hundreds of you that listen, thank you very much. So knowing that there's hundreds of you listening to the show, it would be nice for you to rate it, give it a 5-star review. Like I just keep saying this, you guys, please. It would make me feel good, because I know, let's see, iTunes, I think, has about 22, 23 list ratings, and Stitcher has 2. And, you know, there's, I don't know, you guys. This podcast is free. It would be nice of you to do that. So how else can you get access to this show? You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. You can email me with questions, stuff you want me to talk about on the show. I will gladly talk about it. There's been a handful of people that have emailed me, and thank you for those 7 or 8 of you that have done that. It makes me feel really good, and it's really nice of you to take time out of your busy schedule and out of your life, just your life in general, to jot down a few words on your email machine and send them my way. It makes me feel very hashtag grateful and hashtag blessed. You can like the show on Facebook, and you can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival Pod and mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. And wait a minute, what did I say? No, you can follow. Well, see, this is, I've been blabbing so much, you guys, at the top of the show. You can like the show. You can like it on Facebook. Follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, Chris Lambert, on Twitter at Chris Lambert. So, doing things a little differently today. I'm recording this episode in my bedroom, ladies. There's a podcast in my bedroom. Right, you guys? Yeah, so I'm doing that because I normally record it in my living room on my couch. That's just where my comfort levels are, you know? But I'm not doing that today because someone in my apartment building / complex or whatever you call these things, they did not change. They need to change the battery in their smoke detector. And when you need to change your battery in your smoke detector, it gives off a little chirping noise. And it's just annoying. It's happened last year or a couple years ago during a couple episodes. And I'm going to try to fix that, you guys. I can't make the landlords change the batteries. Maybe I could if I started a hashtag war. If I started some hashtag activism, maybe it would work, but I don't know. But someone either in their own apartment needs, or just in the hallway, needs to change their shit. You might hear birds chirping, actual live birds chirping, because I'm recording this in my bedroom. That's life happening. That's spring happening right now. The weather is hot. Girls are dressing less. You know, whatever the rest of the lines are to that verse on summertime. All right, you guys? So I would rather have real life birds chirping than some artificial annoying thing that happens. But I think those birds have flown away by now. This is episode 115 of the Mundane Festival podcast, and I'm very happy to be talking to you guys today. I just got back from the gym not too long ago. I got up early and I went to the gym, worked out, did some cardio, did a little lifting, and I'm feeling good. I'm feeling relaxed, and I'm going to give you a podcast today. There's a lot of things that I want to talk about and that I want to share with you. So let's do that. I didn't do any comedy this past week because I was booked on some shows, but apparently they were overbooked. One of them was overbooked. There was one where I talked to a guy. He saw me at a show. He said, "Hey man, come do my show on April 14th. And I was like, "Bet, I'll be there. It's in my Google Calendar. You see me put this in. This is amazing. I'm excited." And then I didn't see any tweets about it. I didn't see any like Facebook invites that I was on. And I just started to get a little concerned. And I messaged the booker. I said, "Hey man, what's up with this? Am I still in the show?" He's like, "Oh, I don't remember." And then he writes back at 1 a.m. He's like, "Oh, I don't remember booking you, but yeah, just come through." And I was like, "That's okay. I'll just wait until you guys book me, because I don't want to drive all the way out to Brooklyn and just maybe not do a show, not be on the show and be forgotten about and all this shit." So I just like, fuck it. I'll go to the gym. I'll fucking work on myself. I'll get some nice endorphins going after working so hard all day. And I'll do that. Then I get a message from another person. It says, "Oh, the show's overbooked. We'll get you on another one." So I was like, all right. And again, I just went to the gym. And that's been going pretty good. Just been trying to just get to the point where I feel better. And then just try to keep eating better. Normally, my Friday ritual would be getting some type of fast food. But I got some chicken cutlets and some grilled chicken, and I got them in, and I threw, you know, I'm going to have some on salad. I had salad with some chicken, and it was good. It was filling. I watched Nashville, and I had a good Friday night, for anybody that was wondering what happened with my Fridays, because they can get a little crazy when I'm cleaning out the DVR. So, yeah, so I didn't do any shows. But I have some shows this week, you guys. How about that? How about that? Let me give you some plugs. Let's just give you some plugs for the next few weeks. Why don't we do that? All right, so April 21st, I will be at the Castle Bar and Grill in Stamford, Connecticut at 8 o'clock p.m. I will be headlining that. I think I'm doing about a half hour. There's going to be 5 or 6 comics there and me. So it's probably going to be like a long show, but I'm doing like a half. I'm doing a half hour and I'm excited. Get to do a long set. April 23rd, I'll be opening for the very funny, the very lovely, the very talented, the very tall Carmen Lynch at Steel Stacks and Arts Quest at Steel Stacks in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania at 8 o'clock p.m. Very excited to be working with Carmen Lynch. She's great. I will be, let's see, May 6th, I will be at Caroline's on Broadway at 7:30 p.m. May 11th, I will be at Littlefield on Wyatt Cenac's show, Night Train with Wyatt Cenac in at Littlefield in Brooklyn, New York at 8 o'clock p.m. May 12th, I'll be at Lot 45 in Brooklyn, New York at 9 o'clock p.m. May 21st, UCB Theater East in New York City at 7:30 p.m. We'll do June. June 3rd, I'll be at 120 Bay Cafe in Staten Island, New York at 9 o'clock p.m. June 6th, I'll be at Arts on the Lake in Carmen, New York. That's Westchester, I believe, at 8 o'clock p.m. And June 13th, I'll headline 10th Street Live in Kenilworth, New Jersey at 9 o'clock p.m. So there's some dates for you. Want to see me do some spots, work on some new shit, and then I'll headline a couple of these dates. And more of them will hopefully be coming. So I'm excited about that. I've got some stuff on my mind that I need to work out, some brain droppings. Like, I think that's one of the albums from the great George Carlin. And so, yeah, I'm excited about these things, man. All right. What did I learn this week? I didn't do comedy, but I learned how to do the alley-oop in NBA 2K15, and it's so fun. And it's pretty demoralizing when you do it with LeBron James, when you throw alley-oops to LeBron James, and it'll really make the other team sad. It will take their momentum and just shit on it. And, you know, it'll make people feel bad, and you'll just run away with the victory. So that was fun. I didn't mention that a couple weeks ago I did an episode of the Comedy Outliers podcast with Mike Brown and Brandon Collins. I mentioned that I was on that show, and we were talking about video games, and Brandon Collins, it was at his place, and he had showed me the new Call of Duty, and I'd never played Call of Duty in any version of Call of Duty. I'd never played it at all in my life. And I start playing this game, and it's so intense. First part of it kind of reminds me of Edge of Tomorrow, where you're in this ship and it gets shot up. You have to take your it's first person. And that shit is too intense for me. And I just want to take this time to thank all of the troops that do what they do. Cause even in a video game, that shit is scary as fuck. There's people shooting at you from all over the place. And I would have just been more comfortable if I could just work in the mess hall, if I could just peel potatoes. If there's a level on Call of Duty where you could just peel potatoes and serve the troops, I could be a troop or just enlisted, but I would be serving the troops, you know, turkey, mashed potatoes and stuff like that. I think there's dignity in that too. And you stay alive that way for the most part. So Call of Duty, not necessarily my thing when it's just a shit ton of people. Like most of those video games that I like, the Tomb Raider, when it's just all these people against one. And then like the Order 1886, it was just intense like that too. Just got a little too annoying. So what else did I got a haircut yesterday. and I got up early. I'm really getting my old man on, just getting up early and getting things done. You know, I went to the barbershop and I sat in there. There were two guys in front of me, one guy in a chair, one guy sitting down, and we were just talking. I like listening to older black dudes talk. Guys like in their 50s just talking. I like listening to it. It's just great. You know, they drop the wisdom, and sometimes the wisdom's not that, it may not be for you, may not be that informative, but it makes me feel like some things that they were talking about makes me feel like I have not really lived my life, just in the way that they talk about. Some guys were talking about their lawyers and the bail bondsmen and how all that shit is just, they fucking drop knowledge. I take that back. I'm walking that back, because they were talking about, because there's a prison in Hackensack where I live, and right across the street there's a bail bondsman, and there's like law offices on the main street. Like there's River, I think it's like River Road, and then parallel to that is Main Street. And River Road, there's the Hackensack prison or Hackensack jail. And right across the street is a bail bondsman and a Mexican restaurant. And that Mexican restaurant's fucking great. It's really good. I need to go back at some point. And they were just talking about how it was in cahoots, and they know some guys that was locked in there and all that shit. It was just great listening to them talk about that shit. And then they started talking about basketball, because the playoffs are upon us now, thank God. And it's a lot of fun. That's pretty much what I did yesterday. I ran my errands and I watched basketball and read some internet articles, and I looked at old R&B videos. Looked at some old R&B videos. And you know, I feel like for the most part I'm living my dream. But one of my dreams was to be an R&B singer, and like I would have a video where I would be arguing with my girlfriend, but you couldn't hear what we were arguing about, because you know, like the R&B videos are always muted out. It's always muted out, and you're arguing and she's yelling at me, she's pointing her finger at me, and like she's like, what do you call, like, what the fuck do you call that? She's like mushing me, but she's not mushing me with her whole hand. It's just like a finger, and she's yelling at me, and I just walk out and leave. And then I go to the studio and I sing the song, and it's a song about our relationship. And then like, and either, I don't know how I would want the video to end, but maybe she would come to the studio and realize she was wrong. She would bring like a dinner plate from like a carry out or just food that she made. I would say the ideal girl would be able to cook on her own. And I'm not trying to be a chauvinistic guy, because I like cooking too. And I like trying to do new things, but it would be more sentimental. It would be more heartfelt if she came to the studio. Cause I would tell, I was like, man, I'm going to the studio. Fuck this. Like you could like it would be muted out, but I would be like, fuck this, I'm going to the studio. And she would know that I'm going to the studio, and I'll be singing a song and shit. I was like, yeah, I think we got it. Or like it would be like, yeah, Keith, I think we got that track. And then my girl comes in and she brings me a plate and we eat dinner, but it's in a picnic basket, and we just have like, we eat like our dinner and together, and we make up, and then we have sex later. That would be like one of my videos. I think that would be really cool. Yeah. So that's one of the dreams, folks. That's one of the dreams, you guys. there's a thing going on Twitter, R&B snake. I don't know, some of you might have seen it. It's like, it's a picture of this snake in the rain, and the snake's mouth is open, and you can see its fangs, and the rain's just pouring down, and it's become sort of like a meme where people would it's rain, because you know, like R&B videos always have, for the most, they used to, like 90s R&B, they would have the rain would be coming down, and you could, and then like you see the picture of the snake with his head up and everything, and it would be like singing like "Can You Stand the Rain" in all caps, like "Can you stand the rain," like the snake singing that song. Or it's like "Somebody rocking, knocking the boots, give me some good love," you know, like the snake doing that. Or like "Although we got to the end of the road," you know, like, and it's just picture your favorite R&B song from the 90s, and it, but it's a snake, and it's that picture of a snake, and it's just like, "I don't wanna lose your love, I don't wanna say bye-bye." You know, I could, you know, it's so much fun, you guys. I just, oh man, R&B music. I touched on that a little bit last week. Where is it? It's just not the same. Maybe I'm getting old. I'll admit that I'm getting old, but I'm not that old. 35 is not that old. It's just not the same. Like, I was watching, some Glenn Lewis videos, and that's from, like, let's say Glenn Lewis came out, his first album came out in 2002. So that was 12 years ago. And, I just don't feel it. His last album was just, the talent is still there, but I just wasn't all the way with it, but it's okay. It's like, he's one of my favorite singers, and it's just like, you look back at like some of his old shit and some of his videos, like he was a shit, man. And like, and even some of these guys that weren't super famous, Marcus Houston, like he was with Emma. He was famous. He had his time with Immature, and he had his solo shit, but he had that song, the song that when he first really popped off in solo, the song "That Girl," you know, he's like, "If I wanted that girl, I would be with that girl, but that one ain't for me. She's fine as hell, but she'll always be," you know, that shit. Like, that, it was so cool, and he would dance, like, and like, all the dope, most of the really dope R&B songs would be like the guy arguing with this girl at the beginning of a song, and then he just goes into the song. Like, he'll be like, "Hey, come on, girl. All I did was look. Girl, you know it ain't that serious. Come on, girl. Girl, I'm tired of fighting." You know, like, that'd be so cool. And he would be dancing and all that shit. That's the dream. Like, that, I think more than, I don't know, if you think, maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm not the only guy in this age bracket, but think, would you rather be, guys, write to me, or tweet me at Chris Lambert or at Mundane Festival. Would you rather be an all-star athlete, NBA, NFL, whatever, NBA, NFL, baseball, would you rather be a pro athlete, an all-star level pro athlete, or a musician, or like a R&B singer, like a R&B singer when it was the shit to be an R&B singer in the 90s or early 2000s? Like, what would you be? I think I would probably pick singer, R&B singer, that could dance. Like, Marcus Houston could dance. He low-key could. That girl video, he killed it in that shit. And like, the girl was a dancer, and they were at the drive-in, and they did like a break, like a 1 minute and a half break session where they like danced and shit, and she gets out of the car And then she starts dance. Oh, it's so fucking great. I love Chance the Rapper had a new video. Oh shit. It's like called Sunday something. Let's look it up, you guys. Let me look it up. Cause that was a really good, I should have shared that on Facebook. Chance. Oh God. Chance the Rapper. Sunday something. It was kind of like a high school play, and oh my God, come on you guys. Sunday Candy featuring The Social Experiment, Donnie Trumpet and The Social Experiment. That's his crew, and it was like a play, and they had like the singing and dancing, and Chance the Rapper kind of has like a rapper. Is that the right video? I don't know, but you look it up. Look it up, you guys. You know, I can lead you to the water. It is Sunday Candy. Yeah, so they were doing it like it was on a stage. I'm this chair. It's actually a really comfortable chair that I never sit in. Really fucking comfortable. And it was really cool. So I like stuff like that, man. I like to see dancing. I'm not a huge musical fan of musical theater, but when I see it and it's done well, I'm a sucker for it. Like the big, the extravagant stuff. So, and Neo actually wrote that song. And then I heard I didn't know that he wrote the song. And, right after it, now YouTube has a thing where after the video plays, another song will come directly on. Another video will come on right after. And it was Neo's song that was essentially a reference track. And I guess when he got dropped from the label, they gave it to Marcus Houston. But Neo is a hell of a fucking songwriter, man. So yeah, that's kind of what I did. Like I was in have you ever been in those R&B moods like that where you just, I was listening to some Bobby Valentino yesterday. Yeah, I think that's really, that's just really one of my passions. Like I wish that I could be like Bobby Valentino has some jams too. Slow down. I just want to get to know you. But he had his songs kind of drag for a little bit. Not in the way like Jodeci used to Jodeci songs like Diary of a Mad Band. Some of those songs would go on. It's like, we get it. You're fiending. We totally get what's happening here. You're fiending. And it would just go on for like 5 or 6 minutes. But Bobby Valentino would give you, he'd give you the first verse, the chorus, second verse, bridge, chorus, bridge again, chorus for another like 3 or 4 minutes. The song would still be like, I don't know the exact time. I'm not that great at math, but it would seem like it would drag on a little too long. But I like Bobby Valentino. He has some jams. And that album, his first album was 10 years ago. Jesus. I had just graduated from grad school. When I was full of youth, not yet abused by time. But so I went on a tangent. I was talking about being at the barbershop. And when they got to talking about the playoffs, some people still don't know what they're talking about. Everyone always wants to compare. Like I told them, I just explained to them. I said, look, I'm rooting for Steph Curry. I like Steph Curry and the Warriors. I want LeBron James to win a chip while he's with Cleveland. Because it would be a great sports story for him to win one for his home team after leaving him and coming back, and then he'd come back and win one for him. And they're like, oh, he's not Michael Jordan or Kobe or da 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 da, and it's all these, you know, Magic. I think the more if you can put aside, if you're a fan of basketball, just not necessarily a fan of just like I guess I can look at it on from a perspective of just being a fan of the game. I don't really have any ties to any of these teams. whether they win or lose, I still got to get my ass up and go to work in the morning. So my life isn't decided by what LeBron James does or what Steph Curry does or what anybody else does. You know, any of those guys. I enjoy watching them. The moment you can put to the wayside that LeBron James is not Michael Jordan, he'll never be Michael Jordan, you can enjoy LeBron James. LeBron James is not the same type of player that Michael Jordan was. It's a simple fact. Jordan was more cutthroat. He was going to score. He made everybody on. Jordan made folks on his team better than they thought they were. Made Scottie Pippen think that he was the better than he was, even though he's a Hall of Famer. But I mean, come on, you were great when Michael was with you, buddy. Won those chips. LeBron makes everybody better in that way, but LeBron was more. I think sometimes LeBron James gets more joy giving somebody an assist than he does actually scoring himself. Now, he'll get hype when he scores and everything, but even in 2K, he gets siced when his team is killing it. I'm using the Cavs in 2K15. I think I'm 11-1. I lost to the Bulls. Jimmy Butler just beat my ass. And you could say it's kind of cheating, but I beat the Spurs the last time I played. So I'm playing with this. Are they a super team? The bench is kind of meh. They're kind of a super team. You got LeBron on the team. But I'm also going to start a season with the Minnesota Timberwolves because I like Andrew Wiggins. But anyway, even in the video game, LeBron gets excited when he gives somebody an assist. He's a team player. He's more of a student of the game, and he knows the history. It's more of like Oscar Robinson was, you know. That's the type of player that LeBron is, if you want to compare him to somebody, actually. And we never really seen anybody that big, that fast, that strong as LeBron James. I'll keep saying it. I'll say it till the day that I die. He's essentially Christian Okoye on the basketball court. And he's Karl Malone if Karl Malone was faster and had, you know, and had more finesse. He's a specimen. And everybody's saying now that the NBA is bringing back they're going to start doing the HGH testing, and we'll see what happens. Everybody's joking like LeBron James is going to come back all skinny, but he was mad skinny at the beginning of this season, and he took some time off and he got more explosive because he wasn't that explosive in the beginning of the season. I think because he's been tired. He's been busting his ass for 4 years, making it to the finals every year. And I think that really took a toll on him. And then being back home was an added facet of him being tired. So we'll see. I'm excited to see what happens in the playoffs. I watched yesterday. Everybody that was supposed to win won. And Wizards, it got kind of close with the Wizards. Somebody joked on Facebook and said that the Wizards-Raptors was the best D-League game. He said the Wizards-Raptors was the best D-League game that I've ever seen. You know, Paul Pierce with his Geritol moves, the non-athletic body of his. Paul Pierce is like, if I was in the NBA, if I was tall and played in the NBA, he's just got that body. And he never really grew facial hair. Paul Pierce is just, I don't know, just like a weird Hall of Famer. He's just like just old man game. But I hope they do well, man. I like the Wizards. I want them to advance. I just want the playoffs to be good because it's exciting. It's exciting to watch. And those dudes at the barbershop were talking about how the, you know, they essentially expanded the playoffs. You know, it used to be best 3 out of 5, then 7-7. Five, so what is it, like 5-7-7, something like that now? But now it's 7-7-7-7. It's all whatever. You got to play, you got to win 4 games out of 7 in each series that you partake in. So yeah, I'm excited about that. I was watching Outside the Lines this week, and they were talking about teams tanking. And really, it's not, one of the big points that they raised was the fact that it wasn't necessarily the players tanking. It was the ownership, owners and GMs putting together teams that would not be competitive. So they would just lose anyway because the talent level wasn't there, or there were certain things that they would always mess up the team chemistry, like Philly, Minnesota, and the Knicks. It's just like they don't care. Like, they're still making money. Like, MSG sells out every game for the most part, and those tickets are still expensive as fuck. And people still go to those games to watch that shitty team. And I think they, the Knicks, man, I don't know. We'll see what they do in the draft. We'll see what happens. But yeah, so that's the NBA. I'm just excited about the playoffs. You guys heard about Britt McHenry, the ESPN anchor that just kirked out at the towing company? Well, apparently when I first saw this, heard about this, I was like, man, it's tow trucks, they're assholes, and they essentially steal people's cars and do what they do. I've heard stories about people getting their car towed. And I talked about that on one episode maybe a year or two ago, where the homie Jamar John Johnson, friend of the podcast, where we were out, had just done a show, and he calls me up, and I had to take him to pick his car up because it got towed. And it's just the bullshit that you have to deal with. And these private companies, the NYPD mostly tows your car in New York, in Manhattan. But these other agencies these small places. This happened in Arlington, Virginia. And I think I've heard stories about people. It has an F. What is it? It has an F rating from the Better Business Bureau. And anyway, when you get your car towed, like, you're going to be pissed. And there was a video of this woman, Britt McHenry, who's a sports reporter for ESPN. She, you know, she called the girl fat, and the woman at the, Deadspin put it perfectly, where they basically said she was getting her Regina George on. And where do I want to go with this? And she was just mean to this towing attendant, and she said, was it's unclear what made the woman who looks like McHenry so mad, but she is furious. This is from Deadspin. At one point, she looks directly at the security camera. Here's some select quotes. I'm in the news, sweetheart. I will fucking sue this place. So I could be a college dropout and do the same thing. Like, do the same thing as being the work at the tow company. And she says, I'm on television and you're in a fucking trailer, honey. Lose some weight, baby girl. So she's really just talking mad shit to this chick, at the thing. And then they start digging up. So I found out right before I started this show today. So ESPN suspended her. And then it came out, there was an article in the New York Post that said she basically left her car at this Chinese restaurant in Arlington or wherever. And they towed her car, because if you leave your car there overnight, they're going to tow it. Signs all over the place. So basically, she was wrong. This chick was wrong, and she kirked out. And she had to pay to get her car out of the tow company. So she kirked out for her essentially being wrong as fuck. and she got suspended. Now, like they do, they go in and they look at their lives and look at what happened. They digging up old shit, and apparently she went to Northwestern, and they were talking about how she was just kind of, she was basically an asshole to a lot of her classmates, and she would talk shit about people. It's all on Deadspin. And she, then they got a picture of her taking a picture with some dude holding a Sarah Palin for president. Sarah Palin for president 2012. She's standing by a guy holding a Sarah Palin sign, and she's got a picture of, in a portrait, in a picture frame of Sarah Palin. That doesn't have shit to do with fucking anything. Anything to do with the towing truck company, but their, her car, the incident that we know who she is, because I never heard of her before. I mean, just because I haven't heard of her doesn't mean that she's got to be doing her thing if she's working for ESPN, but she's holding this sign. They got a picture of that for no fucking reason. And, yeah, man, this is like, who give, and then people are going on Twitter talking about her. Let's see what, okay. We received an email from someone who credibly claims to have been a former classmate of McHenry's at Northwestern. Here, I'll read this to you. Overall, she was just very stuck up and stuck on herself. She would barely associate herself with most of us in the program. She asked one classmate who was cool with most folks, "Why do you still hang out with those medildos?" That's a, this is a, what is it? Medildo. This is this in the Urban Dictionary. This means students at Northwestern's Medill School of Journalism, used in a pejorative sense by professors and outsiders. The world is formed by combining the school's name with a common pleasure instrument known as a dildo. Quote, I told you Medildos to get at least two sources for each story, not just one. You say you want to be journalist, but you are all too lazy, said one irate Medill professor. So it's a pejorative term for students that go to Medill, go to that school in Northwestern. All right. Most of us either lived in Evanston, shout out to Evanston, or not far from Chicago. And there would be times I'd see her outside of class and she would just walk past me on the street without speaking. This wasn't a huge program. Our incoming quarter was around 35 to 40 people, and we're spending 8 hours a day, 5 days a week together for the most part. She was in Medill's DC program for at least one quarter, and it was well known among most of the people there that she and another girl filmed fake stand-ups for their reporter reels. Not long ago, she got into a Facebook spat with a classmate whose wife is expecting a baby after she complained about having to see so many baby pictures in her news feed. At best, her work back then was mediocre, and other people in the program with about the same skill set never landed jobs after graduating. On top of the many people with better skills who never found work either. So that's just somebody talking shit. She was an asshole when she was in school. She probably still is an asshole. But, I mean, if you look at Britt McHenry's picture, she's an attractive, blonde, white girl. She's a good-looking girl. And whatever her skill set was, you know, it don't matter when you look like she do. So apparently it didn't matter to a lot of the people that hired her. But I think it's just funny how they just, and then people were, oh my God, she should get fired. This we're in a day and age, like where if you say something outside of your, people always are trying to look to take your job from you. They want to take your job away because their life is whatever it is, not as good as the life of the person you want. Not have their job. What the hell is wrong with my words today? But you get what I'm saying, right? People just will always want to go after somebody's job. And if you ask yourself this, you guys, would you want somebody to take your job if you said something out of pocket when you weren't on the clock? Because I know if that was the case, a lot of people wouldn't have jobs. You know, I've heard some things and I was like, oh, my goodness. I've heard people say shit on the job and that you would be like, oh, my God, I can't believe you say that. I would never say that's inappropriate, but I would just say, I'm going to walk away from that and I'll talk to you guys later. Peace. But she was in the wrong because she left. If you see a sign that says we towing your shit, you know, after, you know, if you leave your car here. So she was wrong and she was basically being an asshole. And she's had a history of being an asshole. But they just dug up all they said, damn, this is a picture of her voting for Sarah Palin, that she's gonna vote for Sarah Palin. Can you believe this shit? This is a pretty white girl being mad and just being an asshole. But that tow truck company, they ain't saints either. They're pieces of shit. There's a story about that towing company. They towed a car with the little kid in that motherfucker. And they interviewed the kid. He's like, I was sitting in the back seat and the car started to lift and I was like, wait. This little adorable little boy, and he's in the back of the car and he's telling that story. That Arlington towing company, man, they will tow your shit. Oh man, it's a horrible feeling when you get a ticket or towed. I thank God have not been towed, knock on wood, man, but my goodness, it's not good. It's not a good look. What else in sports? Jameis Winston, man. Erica Kinsman, the woman that accused him of sexual assault, filed a civil suit against him. I want to say it was like Thursday or Friday of last week. And it happened 2 weeks before the NFL draft. And I think everybody saw this coming because apparently Jameis Winston's lawyer, I got something to say about him, but he called it, you know, we expected a stunt like this to happen and blah, blah, blah. And he said that she tried, you know, six times to get him and then there wasn't enough evidence. And I looked it up. I like researched her name and Jameis Winston. It was a picture. I don't know if it was her or not, but there was a picture of him and her at some bar. And he claims that it was consensual. And they were really close together, like something was going to happen that night. And man, I don't know. Like a lot of it, like if he did do this, man, like it's fucked up. But if he didn't, you know, that's fucked up too. But I think that there's a lot of that hashtag sism going on. There's racism going on. Anytime you have a black man and a white woman, it's just, and something doesn't happen and something bad happens. It's just, where are my words today? Chris, you were doing so well. You were doing so well. All right. Anytime you have something like this, there's always race involved. And the fact that he's going to be a possible number one draft pick, you know, there's going to be, and you're a black quarterback, there's going to be some shit. Now, with Cam Newton, there was the money involved with his daddy taking money and whatnot. That was an issue. He stole a laptop or some shit. I mean, that's bad, but it's not as bad as sexually assaulting someone, being accused of it. Outside the lines, I was watching that. They were talking about the situation. And And there were two, there was an executive, former executive of the Chicago Bears, and he, and a former executive from the Eagles, former team president of the Eagles. And you're talking like, he's great on the field, but off the field, I gotta question this. I have to question it. He's black. He may have done something to a white woman. It's scary. I would not draft him. I just wouldn't. And I'm listening to this, and I see that this one of the guys was an Eagles president, and I was like looking at his shit, and I was like, "You drafted Riley Cooper's racist ass, but you're all about that character, but you drafted Riley Cooper." And then you see, you know, his coach, what's the Florida State coach, Bubba, gosh darn it, Florida State. Typing with one hand. Florida State. Jimbo Fisher was, I didn't even have to look that up. I keep doubting myself, man. Don't doubt yourself, young. Doubt myself. He's like, you know, Jameis, you know, he's a great quarterback, good guy. And he's talking about how, you know, like, we punished him when you don't, he's like, basically, you don't have the inside information that we had about certain issues that happened. We suspended him. That's when he said the fuck her right in the pussy meme in the student union center or wherever he was at. When he said that, you know, that wasn't too cool, Jameis. You're the quarterback. You're the face of that school. And even though you're not getting paid, you should fucking fall in line. Oh, God. But, you know, I would like to, for him to have a little more, be a little more self-aware. I think that's going to happen. I think he's in the process of that. Then they showed the video of him at Publix, quote, stealing the crab legs. And you can't see me because this is an audio, this is not a visual medium, but you best believe that I'm doing air quotes when I'm saying he stole those crab legs from Publix, because I saw the video and it looks like the person just handed it to him and then he walked out. But usually when you're at the deli or you're at like the seafood section, you know, you just, they do hand you the stuff and you can walk out. You could, you know, finish doing the rest of your shopping. He did steal that shit, but then nobody said anything. And he got suspended from the baseball team. They obviously knew who he was. That's like Robert Durst stealing that. Robert Durst had money. He stole a sandwich from Publix. What? I got to go. Yo, I really have to make a pilgrimage to Publix, because that food has to be so good to just, like, you want to steal that shit when you're in Publix. What is it with people stealing from Publix, man? I don't know. But both of them got caught on the video. I'm surprised nobody ran after him and said, hey, you can't do that. I don't know. I just think now that it's getting closer, they want to fuck up his draft status. And if I was that girl, I would wait till he signed his contract and see if he got some, like, a sneaker deal or something, and then go after him. It's not like people aren't going to draft him. They're going to draft him. It's such a quagmire, you guys. Like, you know how I feel about my black quarterbacks. And you know I don't like people possibly getting raped. And I don't like people lying about getting raped, because that makes the people that actually do get raped, come forward with the information that they've been assaulted, and they keep that in. And then that's a whole nother fucking ball game there. So it's just bad all around, man. Like, I feel bad. Like, there's racism. There's Tallahassee Police Department fucking up. There's a school possibly fucking up for I mean, if this happened, I've said this before, if the Tallahassee PD covered up evidence and they made this girl, put fear in this girl's heart for not bring, we would never hear of Jameis Winston. He would be an ESPN story that they show on Sunday about what could have been. It would just be footage of him in high school. But, oh, he would have been pretty good. We would never know how good he would have been. So I think a lot of people are to blame. There's one thing, his basketball coach, not his basketball coach, his baseball, Jameis Winston's baseball coach at Florida State. I forget his name, but he was like really like he looked, his neck was redder than a fire truck. And he said, I'm not saying and he's a redneck, but I'm saying he looked like he just hated black people unless, like, if you weren't an athlete, he would just hate black people. But he said, you know, if Jameis is a good man, good young man, and if my daughter brought him home, I was like, he kind of paused. I was like, oh, shit, what is he going to say? I'd love to have him. I was like, oh, my God. Wow. Surprised me. That was a surprise of the day. But it's just all, like, there's nothing that good about this stuff. And there was a profile on him and ESPN. He's on the cover of ESPN, the magazine. It's actually a really good profile. And I didn't even think about this and put it into perspective that he's from Alabama. I think he's from Bessemer, Alabama, the same as Bo Jackson, one of the greatest athletes of all time. And he didn't go to Auburn or U of Al. He didn't play for the Tide. And he just left them for Florida State. And the people in that community kind of don't like him that much either. And he led the team. I think he led the team to a championship. Where else? It was something else I wanted to say. It just popped in my head. He led the team. OMG. I'm going to figure this shit out. He didn't go to Alabama or Auburn. WTF. Chris, what's going on in your head? I've been eating carrots, so my memory... Don't carrots help your memory out? Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. Okay, I knew what I was going to say. So he didn't do that. So basically, one of the former GM, they got two guys that said they, so they got two guys from Florida State. They got Jimbo Fisher, his football coach, and then they got the baseball coach. Then they just got two former NFL execs. Like, you look at their, like, you haven't drafted anybody in 5 years. Now you're going to talk about, like, let's just shit on Jameis Winston and try to fuck up his draft status. I hate that shit so much. I never see, there's so much scrutiny on these black boys trying to fuck up their money. Now, the NFL, I think you have a contract. You can't get the Matthew Stafford money out of the gate anymore. And Matthew Stafford, maybe Cam Newton type money, I don't think. But you know what I'm talking about. You, even if you're the first pick, you're under a certain contract. I think everybody has kind of a base, I want to say. Most people that are really in depth with the sports would really know, but you can't get that money anymore. But I feel like they're trying to make these dudes, it's like Ron Jaworski does that shit so much. And I don't know if I mentioned it on the show recently, but he was just saying, oh my God, I think Ron Jaworski's just bitter that Randall Cunningham took his job and he was never the same after that. I think that's what that is. And he shits on black quarterbacks. I will not listen to anything that he says. Anytime you say Nick Foles is a better quarterback than Russell Wilson, I don't want to hear shit that you have to say. I don't care how well you break down tapes and you put circles around motherfuckers and you rewind the shit and say, look at how he breaks on this run, or this, look at how this guy runs this run. I don't give a shit anymore. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care anymore. And these guys, and one of the guys was like, oh, you know, like when they were losing to Oregon, he was in a argument with Jimbo Fisher. You know, like, oh, when I saw him argue with the coach, I mean, I thought that he should have sat down, and that he should not play football ever again in his life. I'm being a little hyperbolic, but I'm saying that, like, he was just, oh, that was just out of line. And Jimbo Fisher was like, they asked Jimbo Fisher about it, and he was basically like, I mean, that's what happens to Tom Brady every week. If he's upset, he's going to be angry, and he's going to be yelling at the coaches. He's going to be in a heated conversation with his coaches. That's just going to be what it is. And he's America's golden boy, and rightfully so. He's a Super Bowl champion. Four-time or five-time? Four-time Super Bowl champ. Did he win five? Oh, shit. I feel like he won five of them. He had a t-shirt on it with a five. So I think he did win the five. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Yeah, so that whole situation is all fucked up. I'll be glad when the draft is over and things start. This thing is settled. I didn't like what Jameis's lawyer said either. His lawyer was basically like, Jameis Winston is ready for the NFL. On the field, but off the field, he's not ready. Basically said some shit like that. Then he somehow said, that was the soundbite. Whatever the fuck that was, that was a soundbite, because that's what they used in the clickbait. That's what they used in the videos. That's what they showed. And it's like, you're my lawyer. What the fuck? If you would have said that about me, I think I would have had to have fired him. I felt like I would have had to have fired him. He got him over on five cases. At this point, five or six cases. But it's like, yo, why would you say that shit? Why would you say that? I'm not a lawyer. I'm not that smart, but I feel like I would not want my lawyer saying, he's going to go to Tampa Bay or Tennessee and just go fucking crazy. You guys don't draft him. What? Are you kidding me? Nigga, you crazy? I don't know, man. That situation is all bad. I don't know. Can you still root for him? Can we still root for Jameis? Can we still watch Ben Affleck movies now that we found out that his ancestors used to own slaves? Do we have to burn our copies of Reindeer Games? I like Reindeer Games. Some people try to shit on these movies. I think people have too many expectations on some of these movies. That movie, Reindeer Games, was a Dimension Films movie. And most of those movies aren't going to be at the level of Saving Private Ryan. You have to know what the fuck you're looking at when you look at movies and then judge them. How would you feel? And I'm speaking to the black people right now. White people, if you're listening right now, cover your ears and close your eyes. Black people, what if you found out that you did one of those Henry Louis Gates shows and you found out that some of your ancestors were house niggers? Or house slaves, or even worse. And when I'm talking, I'm not just talking about you worked in the house because you were light skinned. It is what it is. But what if you were a snitch? What if your ancestors were snitches? What if your ancestors were from West Africa and they sold other black people into slavery? How would you feel? Would you want people to talk about that on your show if you're a movie star and maybe you're trying to run for office? How would you feel, you guys? Would you hate that if you were going to play Batman? Just want you to think about that. Tweet at me. Email me. Because I'm not burning my copy of Reindeer Games. I'm not. I put too much money down on that. And I have a sentimental... That movie has sentimental value to me. Because when I was in college, I went on a date with this girl that was really hot, kind of out of my league. And if I look back, hindsight, she wasn't really out of my league. I just was not believing in myself as a 19-year-old. But I felt at that time, I went on a date with that girl. We went to see that movie. It was a good time. And that's why I will never burn my copy of Reindeer Games. I just bought Gone Girl on DVD. Same thing. I'm not getting rid of that movie. You think I'm going to get rid of Good Will Hunting? Even though he was not really the lead, but he wrote it. Or, you know, there's questions on, you know, whether they wrote that movie or not. I'm not 100% sure, but you best believe that I'm not getting rid of that movie. Or any of the movies I have with Ben Affleck. I don't know that I have that many, but I'm not getting rid of it, the ones that I have. Okay? You look within yourself. I mean, what would you want them to do? Like, the people are getting mad over that shit. You fucking pussy! You fucking hate you, Ben Affleck! I don't know. We want our stars to be perfect. I don't know, young. I don't know. I would want. Then why do the show? If I was Henry Louis Gates, I'd have been like, well, we not doing your show. I don't think we should air your episode. Maybe we pay you or whatever. Cause that is taking away the integrity of the show. The show is whatever the fuck it is, but I have seen one or two of those before. You look into your past and you see what you're in, and the celebrities will be like, oh shit, I didn't know. Like, there was one, I think Chris Rock was on. He found that one of his ancestors was a government official at one point or something like that. I'm just talking about this off the top, but that's the purpose of the show. Like what, if Ben Affleck was like, you should have, like, if he had it in there, like, man, that's really fucked up. I'm really sad about, man, damn, that's really, you had like a real response that, yo, this is fucked up. And, you know, own ancestors, blah, blah, blah. And just be like, damn, that's fucked up, man. And it's really sad that that's part of our past and our history. And I'm trying to be a part of the new generation, trying to, you know, make this world a better place. And leave it at that. That makes for a compelling show, and you take away the integrity of that show when you do something like that. That's all it is. But I could see why he did it. I mean, I ain't mad at him. You know, people want these fucking celebrities to be perfect. They human just like everybody else, man. Movies. I did not go to the movies this week. I'm thinking about, I mean, I have a show this week, two shows. I'm thinking if I go to the movies, I may see While We Were Young. I posed the question, that's the new Noah Baumbach movie with, is it Ben Stiller? Is he in that shit? Ben Stiller and Naomi Watts. I mean, I asked the question on Facebook. Let's go to my Facebook and see what my Facebook friends said when I asked them. If anybody had seen it. Going to Facebook to see what people said on my thread. Going to Facebook to see what people have said about my thread. This song sucks, I know it does, but my computer's kind of slow. All right, so let's see. Here we go. So this is me. I ask, has anyone seen While We're Young? one guy, Matthew Morano. He's a comic, so I'll just, if they're a comic, I'll say who it is. I'll say their name. Somebody answer this while we're young. Shoot me. So nobody answered the question. And then I wrote back, I guess nobody likes Noah Baumbach. It's got two likes. Matt got two likes on his comment. He says, Nick Naney is here. He says, not good. My cousin puts a smiley face sticker on my thing. You know, there was a study, I don't know if this is real or not, but I heard that there was a study on if the guys who use emojis get the most sex. Is that true? Because I always thought that was a little, like, I love my cousin and he's not gay, but I always thought that was like, is it girly to do that? Is it girly to send emojis if you're a guy? Guys, tweet at me or email me. Let me know. Is it girly to do that? Because there are girls that send me emojis, and I think that's a thing that girls do. Well, they send emojis to me with tweets on, like in a tweet. But for a long time, I didn't know what emojis were until, because I had a BlackBerry, and it would be those little square boxes. I don't know. But they say guys get more sex. So should I just start sending out emojis to girls that I'm interested in sexually? And then maybe they'll get turned on and we'll hook up. And then my Friday nights won't be as lonely anymore. Is that what that means? Come on, guys. Somebody just let me know. So, my cousin writes, I was going to ask you, was going to see it today, but bought basketball shoes instead. All right, so then I write back, that gets one like, because I think I like that. And he said, I wrote back, I said, I'm probably gonna see it. I saw Ex Machina last week and loved it. It's either that or Unfriended. It can't be that bad. Naomi Watts is in it. And he writes back, big fan of hers also. And then another, like, she's a, I don't know what's her name, but another Facebook friend said, she said, I liked it even though I hated all the characters. And this is a white girl hating all the white people in it. So I kind of want to see it now. That makes me want to see that shit. And then Lucas Kaiser, he's a comedian. He wrote back, it was good. Naney is a ninny. He's talking about Nick Naney. I haven't met Nick Naney, but I know of the name. So I think I might go see that. I'm a fan of these indie movies, you know. I like seeing them. So I'm gonna go to Rotten Tomatoes and see what it's ranked. I think that might be the movie that I check out if I have time and it fits into the time frame of the movies. So what's coming out? So Unfriended, Child 44, Monkey Kingdom. What comes out this week? Adult Begin. That's the Nick Kroll movie. I'll definitely see that. Yeah, it's kind of nothing. Like this week, and then next week it's the Avengers. So, I mean, everybody's gonna see that shit, and I'm gonna be seeing it too. But that weekend's probably gonna be really crazy to go see it. Let me see what it got here. Let me look at it and see what it got there. While we're young. Yeah, Amanda Seyfried, she's hot too. I mean, come on. Come on. Naomi Watts and Amanda Seyfried. 85%, man. 85% on the tomato meter, you guys. It's got to be pretty decent, right? Yeah, I think I'll make an effort to try to see that. So yeah, I'll do that. I did watch, the 30 for 30 Soul Man on about Sonny Vaccaro. That was really good. That's one of the better 30 for 30s that I've seen in a while. He was, what do you really call Sonny? What's his, he's a sneaker exec, kind of like a broker. What do you call a guy like Sonny Vaccaro? He was the guy that was responsible for Jordans. Excuse me. He got he got Kobe Bryant to sign with Adidas. Okay, so he was a former sports marketing executive. He's probably best known for his tenure with Nike Inc., where he signed Michael Jordan to his first sneaker deal. So he left Nike for Adidas and then Reebok. But it's basically about his story and all the interactions he had with these great players. He was responsible for the Ed O'Bannon lawsuit. A lot of stuff. But one thing that kind of stayed with me before I saw this movie, and I kind of believe, I kind of had that in my heart anyway, but Bomani Jones said at the end of, I guess, maybe like Thursday or Friday, Thursday's highly questionable. He said, you know, he just kind of alluded to the fact that Sonny Vaccaro cared more about those kids, these basketball players, than anybody else, than a lot of the coaches that people put on these pedestals. And he was the reason all these coaches got rich. And they try to say that he built this monster, but the monster of what the NCAA has become when it comes to football and basketball. But I really do think that he cared about these players, and he was trying to get these kids played. And you can't say that for a lot of these coaches, where, you know, they'll say, oh, they ask the coaches, like, I don't know, they shouldn't get paid. These kids should be getting something. Then maybe you don't have Cam Newton stealing laptops, or you don't have Jameis Winston stealing fucking crab legs, or quite a few of these incidents that happen. Maybe you have these hangry athletes. You remember Shabazz? What is it? Hangry? Like, a girl used that on me once. I was like, hey, do you want to eat? I took her to a football game, and I was like, hey, do you want to eat at the game, or do you want to eat after? And she was like, I'll be hangry if I don't eat now. So we ate at the game. Anyway, maybe a lot of those athletes are acting out because they're hungry. It's like Shabazz Napier said when they won a championship. He's like, we hungry. Give us some food or something. Yeah, man, that's just another, reason why these kids should be getting something, some type of stipend, so that they can exist as normal people, you know, as young. Then you probably wouldn't have all the, like, if you're going to say, all right, if you're tired of these kids being one and done, which is, so it seems now that Coach K may have done this, or they're saying that he did this, now that he's done it, it's okay. But Coach Calipari, John Calipari, does it, it's a little dirty. It's cleaner that since Coach K has done it. Maybe you'd get less. Maybe those kids would stay in school a little longer and develop. We all know that they're not there to get a fucking education, which everybody tries to throw into the mix when they have any type of argument about players getting paid. You know they're there for basketball. They're practicing all the time. They're away on road games. They don't have time to go to class. Come on. If you gave these kids some type of money, I don't know how it will work, but if you gave these kids money legally and not under the table, they'd probably stay. But what are you going to do? You're 18, 19 years old, and your mother doesn't have any lights on in her house. You're going to fucking stay. I'm going to stay in school, and I'm going to fucking go play basketball and get paid for that shit. Get those lights turned on and shit. Fuck out of here. All right. So that was Soul Man. I highly recommend that. That was a good movie. Good doc. And then I saw, I rented this movie on demand, Misery Loves Comedy. It's a documentary directed by Kevin Pollak, who has he's a comic. Kevin Pollak's chat show, like, it's a video podcast. He's got some great interviews. So he talks to about 60 comedians. Let me read the blurb. Here we go. Jimmy Fallon, Tom Hanks, Amy Schumer, Jim Gaffigan, Judd Apatow, Lisa Kudrow, Larry David, and Jon Favreau are among over 60 famous funny people featured in this hilarious twist on the age-old truth, Misery Loves Company. In-depth, candid interviews with some of the most revered comedy greats who each share their unique path and a life devoted to making strangers laugh. So it's some comedians, some actors, no black comedians or black actors. A little disappointing. I wasn't disappointed, but I was like, it would have been nice to see some blacks in there. But it's good. It's on demand, and I'm sure it'll eventually end up on Netflix. But I was like, you know what? I watched the trailer, and I was like, all right, I'll check it out. And it's actually good. That's pretty neat. What else? Music. Tyler, the Creator, released an album called Cherry Bomb, his third solo effort, or technically his fourth if you count Bastard. It's good, man. Tyler is one of the most consistent guys, like newer cats out there. Like, you can just definitely see that there was no, I think when you look at it, I think Wolf might have been better than Goblin. I think he just kind of gets better and better with each project. And this Cherry Bomb is no different. One thing though, is the bass too loud on this album? If anybody's heard it, if you call in, if you think the bass is too loud on some of the tracks, cause I listened to it and I was like, it was just like the bass was like, it was like a space shuttle taking off. And I didn't really get the texture of what he was doing with the music, because he's got some beautiful tunes in there. And it kind of reminds me of Pharrell. I know Pharrell's a really big influence for Tyler, production wise. And Tyler can rap, man. He can rap his ass off. He doesn't really get enough credit for that. But I think it's just a good, solid album. And I've listened to it like twice. Probably spin it some more, but it is good. I think Tyler's really talented, and I like what he said at Coachella. He was talking about all the rich kids being in the front and just kind of being apathetic to the performers. Like, they're just there because it's cool to be there, and they're not really. He called out Kylie Jenner and some other people. So that was, I like that he's one of the rich and famous, but he's still grounded. And I think he's still somebody that, just reading his tweets, I guess Beyonce came to one of his shows at Coachella, and he was just talking about how she recognized like chord progressions in his music, and he was excited about that. So he's still, I mean, he's 22, but he's still like somebody that's not, you know, like apathetic about everything. You know, he seems to really be in the moment, and he enjoys doing what he does. So that's only going to make everybody else enjoy what he's doing. So I just think he just comes off as not being jaded by the industry. And he's a really, seems to be a really smart guy when you listen to him in interviews. And it's good. I just think the bass is a little bit too loud, and maybe I'm old. And I'm getting that he's not necessarily making music for me. I'm 35. So, but I still listen to what these young kids are doing. And hey, Tyler, I like what you're doing, buddy. It's really good stuff. Yeah. He always had like the last couple records. No, the last three, I think. He's got these songs where he just kind of lets the beat ride. And he has like somebody singing over it. Like that song, I think he's got a song called Find Your Wings on this one. And prior to that, he had, he had the song called Tree Home with this one girl, and then Erykah Badu and another girl. It's just like, he just kind of, they're just singing over like a nice jazzy piano beat. It's just really cool. So he's got the crazy, weird ass. Do you even call it? What did they used to call that? It's not horrorcore. It's not even that. They've kind of let up off that. That was just because you don't really. Odd Future, that God, that was what, 2009, 2010. What did you call that? What that was? Horrorcore? I don't know, but they kind of laid up off that. But you kind of get interesting melodies with. I like the musicality of Tyler the Creator, what he's done in the last few albums. I was playing 2K15 and listening to Cherry Bomb, and then right after Wolf came on, I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna switch to something." I was like, "No, I actually let this shit ride out." And yeah, man, I think he's a talented dude, and I dig it. So check out Cherry Bomb, guys. That's gonna be it for me today. I've talked for about an hour and 25 minutes, going on 26 now. And, I had a good time talking to you. So if you, like I said, as always, rate and review the show, give it a 5-star review, let everyone know how you feel about the show, why you like it. One of the best compliments that I've ever gotten from this podcast was somebody wrote a review and they said, you know, I'm just basically paraphrasing, but they said, I heard about Chris from Black Guy Who Tips. And, you know, at first I was skeptical about him because he's doing this podcast by himself. There's a lot of solo episodes, but I'm a fan and I like him. So that's really nice. And then some comedians have said that they've listened to the show and they enjoy it. People that I highly respect, people that I regard, people that I was like, you listen to this shit? And they enjoy it. So again, thank you everybody for listening, and I will talk to you soon. Take it easy, everybody.